So again, we need y'all to 80-20 that.
Yeah.
Are the sis games justified? I say no. Jay says
I say yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm fine with those. I'm fine. If he loses his appeal, I'd hate it for the team, but I'm hopeful that this teaches him. It's a learning experience for him. And so I'm okay with it now. I'm okay with it now.
Right.
And what's the next topic? Let's go.
Okay, preseason, we are calling you out. Are you needed? And right now we're going to stick it to NFL preseason. Are you needed? Cats get hurt. Is this really needed? Can we just start with the season? What are your thoughts?
I think we both agreed. No, we don't need the preseason as it stands right now. But I will say that practices, which they already have, they have scrimmages with other teams in a more controlled environment. Dude, I'd rather watch that than preseason, because a lot of times in the preseason, you don't even see the starters. You don't see any of the second teamers. You'll see a second teamer. But a lot of times you're going to see like 50 to 90. You know what I'm saying? Those are the players you're going to see. You know, guys that you know are not going to make the roster.
You know, there is value to the preseason. There really is. For the 53rd man, for the 50th guy, for the 45th guy, you need those reps. You need to see on tape, as far as the coaches are concerned, what can this guy do? What can't he do? What can he do versus experience or a fellow rookie? I do see the benefit of it, but at the same time, when a major star goes down, when a guy, you know, tears his ACL off of a bad cut, I mean, we obviously don't talk enough about, you know, the concussions and the long-term injuries of a player.
Yeah.
And obviously the short-term is major. I mean, you're on a one-year deal and you've torn a meniscus or an ACL and your season's done. What in the world, you know? So I definitely think that it's not needed. And let's be clear, I just imagine Stephen A. yelling in our ear, let's all be clear. It's all about the money. It's all about these owners. And I am here to tell you today. You know, so I just think that's the reason why the Shield is so popular and the Shield
that was
gives
deplorable.
These owners. Look, I'm not you. I'm not Stephen A., but I can imagine that this is deplorable.
He would say, well, I think, well, I don't know. I don't know what he would say. All I can tell you is what I would say. And what I'm telling you is no, but practices. Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's the other thing. And can I go ahead and speak to this? The second part of it, as far as the NFL and then the other sports, am I allowed to go there?
Why not?
So I say if you're going to cut it from NFL, cut it from all the other sports. NBA.
Wow.
NHL.
Right.
MLB. Golf doesn't have a preseason.
So
NASCAR doesn't have a preseason.
I'm going to bring up something that's near
tennis doesn't have a preseason.
To your heart. Not necessarily mine, but I wouldn't mind going.
Mm.
So Jay has been going to some WNBA games.
Right.
And,
go Wings.
We don't want anything to happen to this league.
Absolutely not.
But leagues need revenue
yes.
to stay open.
Yes.
If you cut WNBA preseason, that's less money than the owners have to try to keep their organization afloat.
Right. Easy solution. Make them count. Make the games count.
So you're saying the preseason – You just don't want any preseason for all sports.
If it's truly going to be a game, just make them games. And then at the end of it, say, okay, you know, these first games, they count. But you can go ahead and cut down your roster without penalty for this extent of time. So let's say, instead of having four preseason games, right? Let's say that you have two preseason games, you have two regular games added. These games count. But now, within those two games, you can cut down your roster to a 53-man roster.
So what happens in your theory of only two preseason games where somebody gets hurt?
No more preseason.
So why even have that step? Just
that's what I'm saying. There are two regular season games, but you can cut your players without penalty as you see fit.
You know, within those 2 weeks. The probability of a rich white owner listening to us is slim. But I hope that they don't, because they won't like you at all.
That's fine. But you would get more revenue.
You're cutting into their...
People don't go to preseason games.
Yeah, people do.
Some people do. But look, here the problem is this. People, the
you
more...
You are in Texas. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Not really, sir. I want to see good football. I don't want to see that.
What?
It's not
if
good football.
If it wasn't for preseason, I wouldn't have known Lucky Whitehead's name.
Okay, so you need to stop. You would have known it anyway, because
they stole his dog.
That's sad.
That's all I remember was they stole his dog.
That's all you remember? Not the fact that he was falsely accused or falsely identified?
Nah, that one slipped past my memory, but you can't steal the man dog there.
For ransom.
Yes.
And apparently the guy was a rapper.
I don't know.
He was a rapper.
I have a particular set of skills.
He's a rapper. I don't
know. That's what Lucky told the dude on the phone. I don't know what you want. But I have a particular set of skills that make things terrible for a person like you.
Oh, man. Liam Neeson. Shout out.
Oh, gosh.
That's a great movie, too.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And here's the thing. I never realized he had been in action films before.
Darkman.
But it was like,
You were younger. You didn't know who he was.
I knew he was. I just didn't like Darkman. I thought it was kind of garbage. So, you know, that's cool. I got the That's what I got.
All right, next topic.
And we zooming through this.
Yeah.
That's all
okay,
you have to say?
Because, no, we didn't want a two-part show.
We didn't.
And the main event is going to take some time.
Because
I know you got to get some stuff off your chest.
I do.
All right, so we're going to slowly segue into this thing. Okay, so recently... The Kaepernick effect has been taking over the NFL.
Right.
And what I mean by that is you have black players in some way, form, or fashion having a solo or a duo or trio protest about the social injustices here in America.
Right.
As far as race is concerned, with black men being shot by white police and seemingly nothing happening afterwards to the white police.
Right.
So now, though, we do have some Caucasian supporters.
Yeah.
And
thank you, Caucasian people.
Yes, thank you. So the question that we are asking our audience and you as well is, are the white players' support needed to make this thing go over smoothly? Do you think that's a good word?
Wow. How you frame that?
You want to frame it any better? Go ahead.
Well, I'll answer that and then maybe reframe it, but I would say, yes, we need white people in the protest and in the struggle. My question is, why does it take a white person speaking out or unifying with a black person or black people for the actual issue to be discussed? Because here's the thing about Kaepernick. People were talking about, and they're still talking about, the fact that he kneeled during the anthem. And all he talked about was why he did it and what was, you know, the impetus behind it. But yet all you kept hearing was, well, he kneeled and he's unpatriotic and, you know, he doesn't love America and he needs to leave. And the whole time he's saying, no, I love America. I love what it is. I love being here. I love being American, but there are some issues here, and this is how I'm going to show you and bring the issue to the forefront. So, you know, the real issue, like I say, really comes back to once you have a person of, we'll say, non-color, now discussing the issue, unifying, you know, now they're the hero. Oh, he's a hero, you know. And I speak particularly about Derek Carr, and the fact that, you know, I'm watching SportsCenter and I'm watching, you know, CNN and I'm watching all these other news mediums and news outlets, and all they're talking about is how Derek Carr, you know, was showing unity and how he's, you know, joining the protest and how he's this hero now. When in his statement, he said, "I'm not protesting. We're not protesters. I'm just showing that I love people of all colors."
So, here we go. All right.
He's into it, Bubba.
So, I think we all know the underlying issue is white people have to embrace it in order for it to be cool, because that's what white people want to do. Mm-hmm. Because when we have something to ourselves and they look at us and say, "Oh, they're right," or "I like that. Mm-hmm. Let me put my spin on it as well."
Right.
You know, it's funny. Black women, I know. Just
please send your letters, emails.
Here's what I'm talking about.
Black people, care of Aunt Jay.
Black women do not like the fact that white women like to get their skin darkened, or they have that little, you know, that little cream that kind of has the effect of darker skin. And they'll say, the whole tanning thing. They'll be like, "Oh, look at that girl trying to be like us. You can't be like us. It's only one black girl, boo. Oh, don't you know?" Like all that. But that's what this speaks to. It speaks to when white people see something that we like and they think it's hot. "Oh, hey, Jay, could you teach me how to Dougie?" So this is my thing is, it's unfortunate, but we're the trendsetters, and they're the followers. But see, like you said, white media will grab that.
Right.
"Oh, my God, they're so wonderful. They are change makers."
The change makers,
Right, when Kaepernick still is unemployed, still. And he's the one that started this whole thing.
Right.
You got Malcolm Jenkins and Martellus Bennett's brother, Michael Lynch.
Yeah.
You know, but again, to me, it goes right back to don't disturb upper white class. And, you know, usually they are the bosses and we are the recipients of money.
Right.
And you be a good little boy and we'll continue to pay you and everything will be straight.
So then let me put this on here. Right. So, you know, talking to friends, and one of the things that, you know, and they're owners, they're business owners. And one of the things that we talked about was, okay, if I have an employee saying that this particular person or race of persons that this person is, you know, they're crass, they're rude, they're late, they don't care about me or whatever I'm doing. Do you continue to employ that person or do you get rid of them? And the answer is you get rid of them because you're not going to have criticism against you and your organization. Whether it's justified or not, you're not going to have that. And we have to understand the NFL, the National Football League, is an employer. And so even, and that kind of goes back to the whole Zeke thing. Even though the law stated that, hey, he didn't do anything wrong, the NFL comes back with, well, he violated the good conduct policy. You know,
how many white players violate this policy? I would be curious. I would love to see somebody fact check that for us, because,
well, I mean,
man, it just seems like every time,
what's his name,
was a black person gets suspended, they do bring up that conduct policy.
Was it Cooper for the Eagles?
That, Riley?
Yeah.
Oh, the N-word, dude. Yeah.
That was on film.
Yes.
I would think that would go against good conduct within an organization.
I think he was suspended like 4 games or something.
Oh, okay.
And he had to go to
sensitivity.
Sensitivity
training. And I mean,
I would love to hear that. Dude, I'm going to need you to say the N-word in the privacy of your own home.
You know, you can't say that outside. But I mean, that's the thing, man. It, you know, looking at good conduct, especially when you have now here's just a real statistic. Of the players in the National Football League, 70% are made up of minorities. 70. Now you can look that up if you want to. That's a real number.
Can I ask this fact?
Yes.
How many owners are of minority?
That's easy.
NFL.
That's easy.
Go ahead.
Zero.
Say that again.
Zero.
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 So yeah, I think it's interesting. And then, oh my gosh, man, it is open now. You know, we have to act a certain way. We have to present ourselves a certain way, mm-hmm. in order to get along. Mm-hmm. And this is, and I don't know what you tell your black students, mm-hmm. but I'm assuming, because we're both teachers, mm-hmm. FYI. Mm-hmm. We both teach middle school. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I tell my black boys and my black girls, I'm like, look, and I tell this to them on their own, not mm-hmm. all inclusively, but
right.
together, I'm like, look, unfortunately, you are going to be held to a different standard than everybody else. You cannot act a fool here. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have got to learn to get along. Like, if right. you want to act a certain way at your house, mm-hmm. that's fine. But once you come here to this school, which is predominantly mixed, mm-hmm. and there's just a certain way, and us black mm-hmm. folks, we have been ingratiated in it. Now, I don't know about all the hood black folks, but us here in the middle class, in the upper class, in the lower middle class, yeah. we have always been taught by our parents. My mom said, don't mm-hmm. act niggerish here right. in this place.
Right.
And it's true. At yeah. work, whether it be sports, a business world, a medical world, whatever, mm-hmm. you can't act like that. You can't be hood 24/7. You have to put your Grant Hills on. You have to act like you know what you're doing. You have to be nice.
Right.
Or you have to be polite.
Well, okay. Now, see, I find an issue with that. I always have. I have to say that. I love you, Auntie. But I have an issue with that. Because here's the thing.
They want us to get along.
Well, no.
And they want us to survive in this white world.
Here's the issue with I have with that statement that she would say to us is that, first of all, the word nigger means ignorant. So that's what she was telling. Now, we understand it as being different.
As black and ignorant.
But black and ignorant being hood, being ignorant. But my thing is like what you said, you know, I want you to be in here and act nice, act like you have manners, act like you've been somewhere. And my thing is that to be black, are you telling me that's not what that means? And so I'll tell you what I've taught and what I've told my students and my children. The race does not define you. You define your race. So as you continue to move through this world, yes, there are things you're going to have people and you're going to have entities that are going to come against you. I'm sorry. That's the world. Whether you're black, whether you're a female, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're Asian, you know, whether you're tall, whether you're short, whether you're pretty, whether you're not, you're going to have people. I mean, and those are real prejudices that are out there. When we talk about racism and, you know, who holds the power, it's those who have the power that are the racists. That's just how it goes. Okay.
But the fact is the majority of those people are white.
Yes. Yes. Now, what you do in your lifetime, and this is for any person that's out there, right? How you live your life, that's your witness, and that's how you should go forward. And people learn, especially kids, children learn by what they see.
Right. They are emulators.
Okay. So if they see hate, and it's coming from an authoritative figure whom they have learned that's whom they respect, that's what they're going to do. But if you have love in your house and you have love around you and you have different types of persons around you, then that's what they'll learn. And they'll see the interaction. That's what they learn. I mean, for me, I was very blessed in the fact that I moved around a lot. And so I met a lot of different types of people. You know, I have a Filipino mama. That's the reality. I have a Filipino mama. Yes, my biological is black, but I have a Filipino mama. I have a Hispanic mama. I have a Hispanic grandmother. I mean, hey, that's I have a German grandmother. I'm telling you, for me, I was very blessed in the fact that I was exposed to different cultures and different people. And so that's what it boils down to. You have to be exposed and allow people to be whom they are. And so if you let me know that you're not a person that has love in your heart and, you know, can accept people for who they are, that's fine by me. I'd rather know if you don't like me because of my skin. I would want to know. I'd rather you be overt than covert.
Well,
sorry about that.
No, it's cool. So I would love you to go to A&M,
mm-hmm.
Where white lives matter.
Right.
So I bring that up. That was a beautiful segue, I thought, by the way.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. The reason why I bring that up, September 11th, we all know what happened that day. But this year, Texas A&M was actually going to have a White Lives Matter rally at their campus. Now, it got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
I read that this morning on the ESPN's website. But I thought the interesting thing, Jay, was it was approved.
Right.
And you want to call white nationalists, neo-Nazis, whatever. I don't necessarily care what you call people who prefer white people being, quote-unquote, like the dominant race,
mm-hmm.
you know, except for ignorant, obviously. Right. But I just think it's interesting that A&M was on board with this.
Right.
And I know, obviously, Charlottesville played a factor in the fact that it was canceled.
Right.
Look, and we joked about this before the tape. White lives have always mattered. We have built our lives to make sure we don't offend white people.
Mm.
So the fact that you want to make, again, there they go, making our statements theirs.
Right.
You know, white lives matter and all this other stuff. I just think, man, we still got a whole lot of work to do.
Yeah, and I think the biggest point is this, is that, again, I can only really speak for myself. I'm not a spokesperson for the race. I'm not, because there are so many facets within each race anyway. But yes, all lives matter. But at what point can we say that a black life matters just as much as a white life? And that's really, to me, the message that you have here. Yes, white lives matter, all lives matter, blue lives matter, but black lives matter as well. And so until you can have people of a certain pigmentation, and this is what gets me. You have people out there who don't like another person because they have more pigmentation. Not because they're bigger, stronger, whatever. You know, they're coming against you. They've wronged you. No, it's all based on melanin, science, things you cannot change. Well, you can, but it takes a lot. But it's just the mere fact that this is how a person is born. You're born with pigmentation or you're not born with it. So because of that, because you were taught that, hey, you have more melanin than I do, I now need to hate you.
So I guess a sidebar to that would be, how are we gonna effectively solve the problem of great black person versus white versus brown when we can't even solve black versus black or brown versus brown? Mm-hmm. Like, here's what I mean. Obviously, I'm referencing something like a school day's atmosphere,
yeah.
where you got dark-skinned black folks versus light-skinned black folks.
Right.
Like, look, I would love to say everybody love one another and that be okay, but obviously Charlottesville has shown us that that's not it.
Yeah, you know.
So, I mean, but no, there's really got to be a point to where all of us say, look, let's be cool. Like, I might not know you personally, but it doesn't necessarily mean you bombard me with all kinds of old, archaic archetypes about who I am and this, that, and the other. I mean, I would love us in 2017 to get to the point where we really do love one another, cherish one another's opinion.
Right.
But unfortunately, and again, I think the thing that hurts me most about the whole Charlottesville thing is the sheer number of white people who were still like
white nationalists, neo
Nazis. Yeah, it was just like, really?
Yeah.
Like, y'all undercover, but that's a whole lot of, that was a whole lot.
It was quite a few. I mean, it's.
And then the fact that it was still here in Texas, like, you know, like I say, I'm pretty sure that if the Charlottesville thing had not happened, the whole White Lives Matter rally at A&M would have happened on September 11th.
Well, here, let me ask this question then, okay? Are you offended by a movement called White Lives Matter?
Am I offended? Are you by offended? It? No, I'm not offended.
Okay.
But my thing is, and I guess this is just coming from a 40-year-old black dude.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that there is a White Lives Matter movement when historically white lives have always mattered.
Mm-hmm.
Like, last time I checked, Obama was the first black president. Like, every position of power, at least here in America, has been white.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I don't. Like, you want me to put a focus on something that already has a big-ass light on it already. Like, right. I don't understand it. It should be all lives matter. Not white, like you said. Not white, not blue, not black. All.
Right.
And that's the thing. If we we truly love one another as God intended us to.
There you go.
You know, it would really be a different. It would be a lovely place to raise our children.
Sure.
It would be a wonderful place to teach.
But
inside homes, parents intensely or unintentionally teach bias, hate, and all that.
They're doing it. And so, you know, I think what you said was right as far as finding the solution. We have to find the solution to get to a better place for not only us 40-year-olds, but the 20-year-olds.
Yeah, the 13-year-olds that we teach.
The 5-year-olds.
Oh,
the 3-year-olds.
Gosh, yes.
You know, so that when they get to the point where we are at 40, they're not having these same issues. You know, we should be teaching our next generation to be better than us. And I think a lot of times we do not do that.
Well, of course.
You know, so we focus on ourselves. And so there's the challenge. There's the challenge, folks. Make the next generation, the latter, your kids, your nephews, your nieces, you know, your cousins that are younger than you, better than you. And so what I was going to say was it really comes down to humility. You have to be humble to like someone or love someone. You know what I mean? Like, you really have to be outside of yourself. You can't put self first to love someone else. Not truly. Yeah, but you need to come back to, you know, I love myself enough that I'm good with me so I can be good for you. Mm-hmm. And that's really that love piece. So now when you have white nationalists, neo-socialists, you know, those neo-Nazis, those types of persons, there's a, not only I wouldn't say a hatred of themselves, but it's a fear, right?
Right.
For themselves. They don't feel good about themselves.
Right. So they have to uplift themselves and then lower everyone
else.
It's
not even uplift. They uplift by lowering others.
It's fear of the unknown. Like, sure. I don't know you.
Yeah.
Quote, then, ergo, I don't want to know you.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we are. So, man, just a lot to chew on. A lot to chew on. So, I think what we really need to just kind of figure out is how we can love other people. First, love yourself, you know. And, you know, how can we take that love that we have from ourselves that are given to us by our parents and our God and move it to other people, you know, and give it to other people and really have the outpouring of love for everyone else, you know. That's what it really kind of boils down to, man, in my opinion. My humble opinion. 80-20, how you feel it? Well, yo, I've enjoyed it, as always. It's been fun. So what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that we get this posted here and really start this off. We're going to be on Facebook. Our website will come later, but we really want to get the opinions from you guys. So we appreciate you listening to 80-20. A little bit different this week or this episode, but I think you understand why. It really comes down to we have to love ourselves and love each other. And when we do that, then we truly are making America great.
Let's get together and be all right.
All right. Well, I'm Jay Stoggs.
At Jay, a.k.a. the voice of reason.
Yo, 80-20, holla back.